Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, visiting with Michael Yon after too long a break, but Michael's been moving. And now he's in Yerevan, Armenia. This is the capital of a state that is the what is remaining of the Soviet Empire. There are a number of them along the frontier of the Soviet, of the former Soviet state, now the Russian Federation. One of them, of course, is Ukraine. Another is Georgia. Michael's in the South Caucasus in Armenia. The conflict, recently as December, November, December of 2020, is not resolved. It's over territory, Nagorno-Karabakh, a province of Azerbaijan during the Soviet days, that was annexed by Armenia at the close of the Soviet Empire. And our Azerbaijan and Armenia have been in dispute. There's a front line, there's a trench warfare, there are redoubts. I've visited all of them. I've never been into Nagorno-Karabakh. I was there at the end of the war in 2020, during the worst of the pandemic. This is a very serious dispute in the South Caucasus, which is famous, legendary for disputes. This is the Caucasus, the very beautiful land up and down with a lot of hostility towards your neighbor. The conflict in 2020 was between Azerbaijan and Armenia, but that also means between Azerbaijan and Turkey versus Armenia and Russia. Now Michael's in Yerevan, and another war is dominating the conversation, which is the war in Ukraine, because at the announcement of the first draft for Russia, many young Russians were told, especially those with skills online, fled to cities such as Yerevan. They also went to Istanbul on their way out. Also went to Buenos Aires. They're all over the world. It's estimated 1 million young Russians left the country. Maybe they're going back, maybe not. Russia itself has a mysterious fate right now. We can't solve it. But Michael has been in Yerevan for more than a week. And what his general impressions are will tell you the health of the young people who fled to Yerevan. Michael, would you characterize Yerevan as prosperous and booming? Thank you.
I spent a lot of time in old Soviet countries during the fall, like Poland and Czechoslovakia, Romania, that sort of thing. And this is a lot nicer than they were. Actually, I can still feel it. I can still feel that old Soviet Union. It's there. You know what I mean? But Armenia, where I'm at now, the streets feel very safe. The people are very friendly. I went to an opera last night. It was a beautiful small opera, and I'd like to go to another one actually. And I don't feel I'd say the major danger here is traffic. You know, actually, because they can be slightly dangerous. But other than that, I mean, I really am enjoying it here. It feels so much safer than, say, Portland. Of course, they just had a pretty serious war, as you know, and Nagorno-Karabakh was remains highly contested. Of course, actually, the Armenians call it Artsakh. The Armenians call Nagorno-Karabakh, they call it Artsakh. So you'll see young men wearing T-shirts downtown, you know, pre-Artsakh, that sort of thing. And very, very fit young men. You can tell a lot of them are soldiers or were soldiers. They took 5,000 or 6,000 killed young people in this small country in that 40 some odd day war, right? It's very quick, a lot of use of artillery and drones and that sort of thing. We were at some of the fighting positions maybe less than a week ago, still active. In fact, we went through a town that had been hit the day before. We didn't see any action. I didn't hear any gunshots or anything, nothing like that. But I actually went through one place that on the interesting about, by the way, Google Maps. On the Google Maps, as we drove through this one place in Armenia, the Google Map shows it as Azerbaijan territory, right? And this is, as Google Maps drew it as such, it's causing conflict in and of itself. It's these Google Map wars that you may have heard about before. You know, Google will you know, say maybe some island between Costa Rica and Nicaragua are, you know, is belongs to one or the other, and it causes people to go, hey, look, you know, there's the map, and they start fighting over it. All you got to do is, you know, and then people will naturally say, well, look, you know, Google says that this is part of Azerbaijan, or this is part of Nicaragua or Costa Rica, and it causes, you know, as if, you know, Google, the god of Google, you know, it can just draw a map and cause people to fight. Of course, these fights, as you know, John, in the Caucasus have been forever wars, and there's no end in sight. But I'm just saying that there's an additive pressure when these random lines are drawn. But yeah, there's a lot of Russians here in Azerbaijan and Armenia. And there's a lot of Ukrainians here as well. They seem to be getting along peacefully from what I'm told. There's a sprinkling of Africans, new Africans here. Not many. I've seen a few. But it's really overrun with Ukrainians and Russians. And I'm told that it's driving up the prices here and whatnot. It's not really driving up crime or anything from what I've been told, just prices. But you know, it could make a long-term demographic change of Armenia, just like, you know, the unfettered invasion of the United States is changing our demographics permanently. The same is probably going to happen here.
Michael, have you seen in Yerevan, have you seen any Chinese?
Oh, yes. In fact, on some of the buses, you'll see the CCP sign. And you can see the flag, actually. And the Chinese are definitely involved here. I've seen a lot of one hotel that I was in the other day, about 20 Chinese came to eat. They took up two long tables. They were speaking Mandarin, actually. And they were elderly, that group was. And I went to get my eyes checked tonight for something, to get new glasses, because I'm about to do something on the border. And a Chinese lady came in actually to get her eyes checked. Interesting, huh? So I'm seeing a lot of Chinese.
Are they tourists? Do they look like they're living in Yerevan? Can you tell?
They don't look like they're living here. I am, because I asked that specifically the other day of somebody who's lived here for years. He said some Chinese are moving in, but not. It's not like Chinatown in Boston or something. But there's a lot of tourists, and some, I'm unclear if they're tourists or what, but a lot of them seem like actual tourists. They just have that touristy feel to me.
And in your hotel, you're no longer in a hotel, but in your hotel, was it full? Were the rooms 100%?
Yeah. In fact, it was difficult for me to get a good room. And a nice hotel. You know me, when I'm down in Darien, I'm staying in a one-star hotel or out in the villages. But when I come in a place like this, I need to go to a place with good internet, which typically in a town like this is going to be the good hotels. And I was having problems actually keeping a room there.
Michael makes friends with chickens when he's in the Darien camp. Many of the time we did broadcasts with the exotic birds of Panama's triple canopy jungle, and then somewhere in the background would be a chicken. The landlord, your landlady, keeps chickens, right, Michael, in your hacienda on the Darien Gap?
Oh, yeah, Tenosa Hotel, where the Chinese stay there, actually. There's always chickens out there everywhere you go, you know, because they – actually, some of the Panamanians, they make fun of me now because they know I love their chickens. Chickens taste differently around the world, and the chickens in Darien Gap are quite good. So I'm always like, I'll take that chicken right there, you know. And they have a lot of unfiltered milk down there, unpasteurized, and I'll just drink it straight out of the cow. So they know when I show up, it's time to get some of that fresh milk.
Michael, one more detail about Yerevan. Do you see Russian military in the streets?
Not in the streets. However, you know, they are thick here. They actually are in charge of border security and that sort of thing. So the Russians are a heavy presence here in Armenia and part of the security apparatus, which actually concerned me when when that thing just happened with the potential coup in Russia. You know, of course, if Russia did have a civil war, then Armenia would be left basically a piece of fruit hanging off the end of the longest branch. I mean, you know, Turkey would love to take this place, as would Azerbaijan. Yeah, it's quite risky living here. I mean, it's safe here right now. And I don't mean to indicate that there's like incoming rounds. This isn't, you know, Ukraine. Or actually, on some of the border areas there are, but not where I'm at. It's quite safe here.
One more detail. You've been you've been a soldier on leave or a soldier taking liberty in a big town. Are there places that are obviously attractive to Russian soldiers when they're on leave or taking the night off? Did you see anything like that?
I haven't been looking for anything like that, but you can rest assured it's out there somewhere. And I do see, you know, a lot of guys walking around that are very fit, and they have that demeanor of soldiers, and I hear them speaking Russian often. There's obviously a lot of soldiers and intelligence people going around here. Weirdly, you know, I'm not even worried about the Russians, you know, kidnapping me or something like the Chinese would do, you know. Not that the Russians are children or kindergarten players, you know, they're very serious people. But as you know, when I was over in Hong Kong, it was a constant concern that you would just disappear one day and never be seen again because you're off in some dungeon in Beijing. But I don't really have that concern here that the Russians are going to, you know, come and gather me up.
And you're on your way back to the Darien Gap eventually. So we're going to leave Michael Yon safely in Yerevan now that the Prigozhin threat is past for the moment. Although I remind you, Michael, in 1918, Vladivostok was a safe place to be. It wasn't in 1921. You get my drift, Michael. Things happen somewhere in between.
Oh, I know how they change, brother. I know how they change. Remember before the Ukraine war started, just a week before that, I wasn't there, but Chuck Colton was, and he was reporting how everybody said, oh, there's not going to be a war. And the next thing you know, it's incoming, you know, jump for the holes. And, you know, changes from night, you know, one night to the other.
Michael Yon. It's at Michael_Yon. That's his Twitter address, and he eventually puts everything he reports on locals.com on Twitter, so that's a good, easy way to find it. Michael is traveling. As usual, he's in the Caucasus. He's eventually headed back to the Darien Gap to begin to solve this mystery of afflictions that are not predictable and not consistent with any known malady. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.